The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. And believe it or not, if you can believe it, today is December 27th, 2016. Go out to motivationmuscle.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle and our free ebook, 30-day training. It's the first time I put together conventional lifts with the power rack, and in the middle of the week, you are doing some massive sand training, as in sandbag training. It's all free. So you get to start out something mentally to shape yourself mind-wise, and then you get physical too. So go out and do both of those. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Dr. William Wong on, who I'll bring in momentarily. Just go out and look at all the shows he and I have done together. You know, I go back a long way with Dr. Wong. Everybody knows my feeling. He's a class guy. And I thank him for all his support on air and off air. He is part of our family, obviously. And to me, he's a very critical piece of the success of Motivation and Muscle. And he will be on here until he decides he doesn't want to be on here. And I am hoping that he will be with me to the bloody end 30 years from now. And that would be one hell of a show as we go off at 30. So go out there, check out all the shows, and I'm guarantee you, you'll find anything you want out there. We do have the deepest vault in, well, I'd say in history probably. I know there's probably people that argue with me on that, but I'm telling you right now, I do believe that. Also, too, don't forget to donate to Motivation Muscle. If you like the quality of our podcasts, please donate to the show. As everyone knows, we are going through major growing pains. We've had some trouble with different people here that didn't come through. And we are raising as much money not only for the show, but obviously to keep going because there's massive changes coming right now. We're doing a ton of stuff behind the scenes. And as everybody knows, that most people will not do it for free. We got some people here that are very, very good about everything. And I want to just thank a few people, too, for their donations to the show. Obviously, Mark Hayworth, Alan Roth, Frank Deventhal, let's see, Dr. Jeffrey Smith, obviously the other Jeff, he has come through for us many times, too, and I thank everybody for that. You know, it's a big help to everything that's going on here. Because, you know, I've told everybody, and this is, you know, crying the blues, but this show is $600 a month to produce. This is no, you know, when we're trying to build, and there's a lot of things that people know that's happened here, and it doesn't matter, no one needs to know. But I can tell you this, most guys right now would probably be down on their ass and out of business. We've been very fortunate doing a lot of different things and being creative and always staying, you know, one foot ahead of everything. And we're just going to keep doing that until we get to where we want to go. And I can guarantee you we will. That was Jeff Zambello. Jeff, thank you, too, for everything. Obviously, Dr. Wong, Steven Santangelo. There's multiple people here, and I don't want to leave anybody else out because I'm not trying to insult anybody. You're all very appreciated here, and I thank you. And as we go into 2017, get ready because I'm telling you right now, there's nobody like us, and we're going to show the world who we are. Now, before I bring Dr. Wong in, as everybody knows, I'm going to read a couple excerpts. Now, this is another one out of John Wooden's book, A Lifetime of Observations and Reflections on and Off the Court, Wooden, Coach John Wooden with Steven Jameson. All right, and this is pretty short, but this is another great thing that Coach Wooden wrote among many. This is called the all-time best starting five. Number one, industriousness. Number two, enthusiasm. Number three, condition. I love this too, right here. It's in parens. Mental, moral, and physical. 4 is fundamentals. 5 is team spirit. And he says here, right at the last line, a good 6th player on the bench is attention to details. And we love all that here. All right. Now we're going to go into one of my favorite books of Stones and Strength, Steve Jack and the late Peter Martin. I read this all the time from one of Steve's excerpts. Chapter 33, Sons of Sisyphus, page 106 and 107. It goes like this. The struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's soul. And that's one of our topic today. I'm going to bring Dr. Wong right in. It's called, I'm going to give you the whole thing. Are you made of stone or cardboard? Which is going to be real interesting. I'm going to give you a little information on Dr. Wong, and that'll be quick, and we'll get him right in here because I just read a ton of stuff. I'm anxious to hear his thoughts on it. All right. We do welcome the good doctor. He's a classical naturopath, a PhD, exercise physiologist, certified athletic trainer, that's AATA, certified sports medicine trainer, that's ASMA, World Sports Medicine Hall of Fame member, and World Martial Arts Hall of Fame member. How's that for a pedigree? Dr. Wong, welcome back. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you, sir.
Merry and blessed Christmas and a Happy New and great New Year to you, Eric.
Thank you, sir. Why don't you give out the websites, obviously, anything I missed, and then we'll give a little chat maybe about Coach Wooden and obviously Steve Jack's thing, because it really funnels into, are you made of stone or cardboard? So take it away, please.
Yes, anyone who wants to hear my rantings and ravings and listen to my lecture titled Fighting the Things Most Likely to Kill Us can go to drwongradio.com to take a look at our supplements. You can go to drwongsessentials.com and to read the almost 60 articles on everything from health, exercise, spirituality, and martial arts, you can go to drwong.u as in United, S as in States, drwong.us.
Well, this is interesting. You know, I read off the all-time best starting 5. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm looking at, you know, obviously being industrious, enthusiasm, condition. We always harp on definitely the mental, moral, and physical fundamentals, team spirit. You know, we're talking about, to me, there used to be a word I remember the older lifters used to use at the Y. And it really corresponds to the stone or cardboard theory. They used to call people like that paper tigers.
Yeah.
You know, we listen to Coach Wood and we listen to Steve Jacks, and it's really, to me, it is the fundamental. And we're going to concentrate on men here. We got great women and everything, but today, Dr. Wong and I are at the end of the year. I don't know about him. I'm pretty feisty right now. This is 3 hours ahead of time. We usually do the shows, so I got a lot of vim and vigor in me today. And, of course, when Steve talks about, you know, too many people today concentrate on the end result. It's like all they want to do is talk about the end, the end, the end. The point of the matter, they always use the word journey or whatever, but let's face it, man, it's the stuff you're doing to build to that point to get to where you want to get and obviously achieve. So what I just threw a ton of stuff on you, stick to the wall. Break it down any way you want and take it away, Doc.
You've got to have the intestinal fortitude to meet your goal. Lots of folks have a goal. For example, how many guys go into a martial arts school and expect to be a black belt in 2-3 months?
Yeah.
They expect to be Bruce Lee, yep, in very short order, and zip, zap, zoom, they're just wonderful. And when they actually have to bear down and learn the skills and do the work and honestly take the lumps that it takes to master the art, they fall apart. Yep. So think of a cardboard cutout. You could have a poser, and that poser has got beautiful sculpted muscles, and he's got this, and he's got that, and that's all in this guy's head. That's what he sees himself. But as soon as it rains, what happens?
Well,
if you've got that image of yourself, and you've got the inside get-to-itiveness to bear down and to do the work and to actually accomplish it, because you're going to have a longer span of time actually doing the work to get to your goal, then you'll have it, your goal.
Yep.
It's just that simple, because reaching the goal never ends. Because as soon as we stop doing it, we go right back to being nothing again.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
With this lifelong ambition, with this lifelong goal, you're constantly training, you're constantly out, and if you're not made of stone, you know, rain falls on stone, nothing happens.
Right.
Rain falls on cardboard, it falls apart.
Yep.
If you're not made of stone, when the rain comes, you're going to fall apart.
And that's a big issue right now. We've talked about this multiple times. But, you know, today, being it's the end of the year, we're getting ready to 17, which is, you know, I mean, think about right now. We've lost, you know, it's not a loss either. We've gone through another year. I mean, another year. I mean, when we were all over at Christmas, you know, everybody's like, not the little kids so much, but it's funny when you hear them talk, you know. Well, in 9 years, I'll be, you know, 18 and all this. I'm like, don't rush your life. Believe me, enjoy your life. I can remember as a kid doing that all the time, too. How old am I going to be, you know, in 20, 25, you know, all that stuff. I guess as every kid goes through it, adults do, too. But one of the things that I really wanted to get on, because, you know, we really harp on the bullshit going on out there, and we should. But it's the end of the year, and this today, I'm not going to get too into whys, you know, things are being done, the whys. You know, we kind of know that, and I'm sure we're going to hit on it at some point in the show, because it's something I know we got to be reminded of, because there's too much of it going on right now. Now, I'm going to give you a for instance. You know, when we talk about stone cardboard, everybody goes over to my mom's house on Christmas around noontime. And that's going to consist of, obviously, my brother-in-law, my sister, my nieces and nephews, and my other brother, Mark. And it's a very interesting thing, because my other nephew, this is the first year he wasn't with us, my nephew Galen, he's down in the Carolinas working. He came up for Thanksgiving, but this was the first year of our lives that he wasn't with us. And I didn't like it, I got to tell you. But he's a man. He's got to do what he's got to do now. And I've got no problem with it, because I'm very proud. He's graduated from nursing school. He's the kind of kid, I think eventually I could see him running a hospital. The kid's got such ambition, and I know he did that because he really loved kids that had terminal things, and I think eventually he might even end up doing that. He is just so good with kids, and he's a kid still. So to make a long story short, Danny, who's the youngest, my nephew, he's 6, and he's got sisters from age 14 down to 10. So he's got girls around him all the time. He's fine, you know. They all go back and forth. My youngest niece, him are like best buddies, but you know, Maggie's always trying to tell him what to do, and you watch him the other night, you know, somebody whacked somebody, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But what was really interesting, and I never force either one of them, and all the kids are, because my brother-in-law, you know, weightlifter, he played semi-pro football, he's a high school coach, teacher, obviously, and he's fielded some very good football teams. But to make a long story short, Danny and all the girls have been around it, and my other nephew, Galen, has been around this their whole lives. Both sides of the family are all very physical. We've all been in meets. You know, my sister's a black belt. You know, she's fought for years, et cetera, et cetera. So they're very exposed to this, and they're all athletic, too. So when Maggie, who's 10, and Danny comes over here, I always say, hey, you know, I got to go out and count some things up. You want to go out and just check everything out? Oh, yeah, they're right on it. Well, you know, now I've got them carrying bricks, doing farmer's walks. They both flip a 15-inch tire, and we do a little grip work, and I teach them all the things like doing step-ups with a 10-pound plate, blah, blah, blah. So when they were here the other day, it was Dan, my brother-in-law, my brother Mark, Danny, and myself, and they're like, I want to go out and check out some of the new stuff you got, so I bring them out. And I said, you want to go with me, Danny? He was like right on it. So there he is outside with us, and we're all screwing around with a big dumbbell that was just built and a big oversized bar and all that. And there he is, man. He's doing step-ups with a 10-pound plate, flipping tires and getting right into it. And I'm saying to myself already, he's got a hell of a gene pool he's drawing from. There's no doubt about it. And if we can just capture him and keep him interested without pushing on him too hard, it's going to be pretty intense. Because I even said to him, I said, you're my new training partner. He was happy as hell. And when I gave him a card to go with everything else, I drew on the front an Olympic bar stacked with might and muscle underneath it. So I'm not forcing the kid. I'm just wetting his whistle, as they say in The Godfather, little water on the beak, and we'll see what happens here. Now, we're talking about stone or cardboard. Now, I couldn't have been happier out there, and he was happy as could be, because he got to hang around with men. He got to see what that testosterone pool we always talk about, and he's a young kid. And I know they'll tell you, you got to be so careful with their growth plates and all this shit. You don't think I know enough what to do with them by now. But I'm telling you right now, carrying those bricks, flipping that tire, doing step-ups. We were doing a little bit of grip work with him. Nothing that would hurt him. Was just squeezing the end of a picnic table. Did wonders for him. I mean, you see the confidence and the smile on his face. So I'm going to get right back to you, Doc. The thing is, I'm creating, a piece of stone there. See, we know what's going on in the world. There's a lot of people pushing on people that don't belong doing it, picking on people. I'm not going to use that word bullying because I hate that word. It's way over dramatized, I think, now. But I'm telling you right now, I want any of them. If someone comes up and tries to rough them up, I want them to be strong enough and know enough that they'll pop them right in the chin and knock them the fuck out if they do, all right? Go ahead, Doc, because I'm starting to get wound, so take it.
People who complain about bullying have the balls to stop it. They want everyone else to stop it.
Exactly.
Fuck that shit. Mm-hmm. Kick the guy in the chops and stop it.
Exactly. But you know what now? Everything now is, let's consider what it is or who it is and all this. Let me tell you something. Nobody, and I'll repeat, nobody has the right to put their damn hands on you unless you ask them to, all right? Otherwise, to me, this is me reading it. I read it as a threat. If I got somebody doing shit like pushing on me or something, or, in your face, then you know damn well something's going to go down here, and you got to be prepared for it. I'm not asking Danny or any of the girls to go out and look for trouble, because they're not like that. But, man, and they learn this at home, too. They're not making them shy from anything. I'll tell you right now, if it's stone or wet cardboard, my friend, make sure you're a wet stone, all right? Because I, like Doc said in the beginning, the water rolls off it, and eventually if it gets ice on it, it's going to melt off it. The other stuff will just be fragmented all over. So, this is one thing I'm interested in too. You've been training a long time. You've done multiple disciplines, and you've taught multiple people. When you meet up with a young guy, middle-aged, whatever you're working with, okay, what are some of the factors in a person, even though you're not sure they're going to be 100% for how many years, whatever, but initially, when you're bringing somebody in, when you're looking at somebody, what are the qualities you look for in an individual that you hope will turn into a piece of stone like we're talking about?
Someone who can be taught the mindset.
Yep.
Someone who is seeking. If they're not seeking, then they won't complete the journey. They have to be seeking fitness. They have to be seeking being able to defend themselves. They have to be seeking self-improvement. They have to be seeking something that you can tap into and use that as the motivator to help them start on the journey. You know, we don't take everyone through the journey. We don't lash them to ourselves. We don't chain them to us and drag them down our path. We stay with them for a while. We walk their path for a while. We motivate them. We teach them, and then we cut them loose, and they take their own path.
Yep.
I did not drag my Wing Chun students down my path. I taught them, and I typically teach a student for 3 years, and then I cut them loose. And they find their own paths after that, and my students have done magnificently based on that philosophy. So we do the same thing with a lifter. We teach them the basics. We teach them the motivation. the most important thing that we teach them is the mental aspect, the spiritual aspect almost, of the iron game, because that's what's going to keep them in the game.
Yep.
If they can't find that internal mental spiritual drive, they'll exercise for as long as you're standing over them, and then as soon as you're not there, it's all over, it's done with. They're never going to lift up a weight again. We have to teach them that this is a lifelong endeavor. We have to work on whatever motivations they have running to keep them at the task of self-improvement for the rest of their lives.
I so agree with that, and we're even going to go some steps further here. Commitment. If you were my teacher, which I would love to have you be, I can tell you right now, I'd be so committed to you, you'd probably be pissed and tell me get the fuck away from you eventually.
I've had students like that, and it's cool because you can you can really tell the motivation just exudes from them.
Yep.
You want to not stop teaching them, but you want to have a 9-hour class.
Yep.
They are a dry sponge and they want to absorb everything you've got.
Well, I think you can't do anything unless, you know, if you and I are working together like we do on the show. Obviously, I'm taking from your time here. You're generous enough to come on here with me. We have a commitment to one another. And I said it in the beginning, you know, I hope that you're with me for the next 30 years till we sign off. And that's all commitment. But, you know, there's another word, too, that you and I love to talk about, and that's success. And really, in my opinion, if I'm working with Dr. Wong or someone's working with me, to me, it's the only option. And I'll tell everybody why. And we've gone over this a little bit recently. I've been putting some film up. Dennis, who's been with me for a number of years, for some reason, gets very heavy all the time. I know what he's doing, and he's not disciplined. And to me, he's not committed enough. We've lost, let me see. I think the first time he was 265, I got him down to 205. Second time, everyone's seen the video of that. He was 267 down to 223. This time, and this has been going on for a while, he really ballooned up to about 271, 272. And he's not going to get upset when I say this because I've told him we've talked about him on the show. His stomach's bigger than ever. He's lost what endurance he has pretty much. And he's asked me, I really didn't want to do another tour of this, mainly because the business is so demanding, and on these days, you know, it does suck a lot of life out of you, but he's a good friend, and I feel a commitment that he is going to have to be committed to, too. That's the only way I would take him back on. We're doing a lot of unique stuff, as I've told people, as I've told everybody on the show. Especially with this version of the power rack that I believe that I did invent this style of it. It's been around, but we do a thing. We've talked about it before in the show. We're going to end up doing all three movements called the top down, where you start at a weight that he can handle. But we're going to be doing isometric holds, whether it's against the long rods. Now he's doing everything dead stop, or we do it through bands, or we do it through anything I deem. And I've also come up with three movements with the iron boots. Anybody not familiar with those? York barbell. I think they're around since the 30s. I have found a way to do isometrics in the power rack using an Olympic bar with the iron boots. I'm sure probably somebody in history has done it. I don't know anybody that's ever talked about it. I think it's very innovative. If we can do everything else with a hold, why can't we do that with our abdominals? So I came up with all that. Now, to make a long story short, and I can't wait to hear what Dr. Wong says, I've been on his ass real hard. He's had five workouts here. Obviously, I can't start him out super hard because I don't want to kill the guy, literally. And we're going to add a third day. He's coming 2 days a week. But one thing I stress to him is you're going to have such a commitment to me in this if you want me to reciprocate. And second of all, success is our only option here. I am not going to do it any other way. I've got gold standards here too. Ask yourself why you're doing this. I ask them all the time. Why? What is your why? Why are you here? And this is one of the things that I'm going to start doing more and more on the shows next year. And I'll ask you all right now. Why are you listening to Motivation Muscle? I got a, I believe, let me, I want to make sure I want to verify his name. But I'm going to read you something if I can get the thing up. Well, I can tell you multiple people, and I don't want to give out their last names without their permission. But let me get out here quickly. Dr. Wong, go ahead and comment on any of that while I bring this thing up, because I, sure. You know, the commitment, the stand, the gold standards, all that, and comment on Dennis, because I'm very interested in what you think about that.
Well, you know, we see lots of folks who are motivated as long as they are with their teacher.
Yep.
And motivated for as long as they are taking classes or working with the teacher, and then once they're on their own, the motivation fails them.
Yep.
And it goes back to something that we've spoken of several times before. They have the lover, but they don't have the warrior.
Yep.
They have the want of wanting to be fit, of wanting to look good, of wanting to be strong, of wanting to be as good a person physically as they could possibly be, but they don't have the motivation. They don't have the warrior spirit inside of them to commit to staying on task. So they reach their goal.
Yep.
And I mentioned this before. You reach your goal and then you stop.
Yep.
Well, then you go right back to being what you were. So, you know, going between Hercules and a marshmallow,
yeah,
is not a good thing for your body. Certainly not going to extend your lifespan at all.
Nope.
You have to keep that motivation so that once you've got the muscle, once you've worked so hard to get the muscle, to lose the adipose, to get fit, to make your heart stronger, to make your body stronger, to keep it there.
Well,
you know,
go ahead.
You know, lots of folks ask me, well, when you do the penis pump, doc, is the change permanent? You know, when you build an 18-inch arm, is the change permanent?
Yep.
When you get to be able to run 5 miles, is the change permanent? When you get to be able to do anything in a lift or anything in martial arts, is the change permanent?
Right.
Well, no, it isn't. Nothing's permanent. If you don't work at it, it won't stay. Now, mind you, when you're building motor patterns and skills in martial arts, if you don't do it for 5, 10 years and someone comes by and swings a wrench at you, you'll probably know what to do and you'll probably do it fairly well, but it won't be anywhere near as good as it was had you still been working on it.
Yep.
But when it comes to fitness, in 8 weeks, we can lose 80% of acquired conditioning. Let that sink into your brain. This is an absolute fact of exercise physiology. When Mark Spitz won 7 gold medals, right after he won the 7 gold medals at the 72 or 76, I think it was 72 Olympics, mm-hmm. he stopped swimming. He was so sick and tired of having his head in the water. He just stopped swimming. 8 weeks after he stopped swimming. So 9 weeks after he won 7 gold medals at the Olympics, he could not have gotten a post on the U.S. Olympic team. He could not have passed the Olympic trials because he deconditioned by 80%.
Wow.
Let that sink in, folks. You can lose 80% of acquired conditioning in 6 to 8 weeks. So what happens to that 18-inch arm?
Down again.
What happens to the ability to run 5 miles?
Yep.
What happens to that great overhead lift you just did? 8 weeks.
You know what the interesting thing about that is, too? Which I never even heard of that, which is pretty – I just learned something big time here. I mean, I'll tell you what. I can use an example of that. Take 10 days off from training. You know, it's not so much you lose. What it is you lose the momentum, number one. But things initially that felt light feel a little bit heavy to you. So you got to get everything wrapped around that barbell or whatever you're doing and get started again. And, you know, I can see with him coming back here, he's going to have to override everything. And he's not going to have me, you know, here forever. And, you know, he has diabetes in his family. He has heart disease in his family. And he's in his mid-40s now. So he's a candidate for any of that stuff now. And, this is the thing I just, you know, I don't understand this with a lot of people, and I understand, and I've already told them, you know, laziness is one of the biggest burdens you can carry around with you. But let me tell you this. It's far more easier to get rid of than have your toes taken off or have, you know, a triple bypass and have to live like that for the rest of your life. And then you are forced into living a certain way, and chances are it's not going to be the right way. I mean, I saw a commercial last night, and I read it last week or the week before, and I think I said it on the show. And I think this is so irresponsible. You know, everybody knows who Oprah Winfrey is, and I could really give a rat's ass about her because I don't think she's talented at all. But somehow she rose. Good for her. I applaud anybody who's done something big, but that's not what it's about. She's out telling everybody she lost a big amount of weight again, and she did it all on carbohydrates with macaroni. Well, they call it pasta now, but I like all
something like shooting up your insulin.
No shit, and getting you want a big gut and diabetes and everything. So when I heard that, I said to myself, "How goddamn irresponsible can you be?" Because you know what? Her word carries weight with people. There's a lot of people that look to her for whatever, which I have no idea why people do that for anything, but we can get into that,
the
too.
IQ and below.
Exactly. And, you know, here we go now, telling everybody, go out and eat all the junk you want to eat. Keep firing that insulin up, and you're going to lose a ton of weight. Yeah, well, okay, I'm here to tell you, unless you're some freak of nature with people waiting on you hand and foot like with her, I would highly tell you to turn around and run the other way. Because, like, if Dennis ever came to me, and he would never say that to me, because he know he'd be wearing a 45-pound plate over his stinking head, all right? This is what I'm saying. This is so irresponsible. And then when you talk about stone and cardboard, you know what you're going to do to those people? If they've got anything left in them, they're going to be leaking holes through their cardboard real quick. And this is not the way to do things. So, you know, when Doc says here, some people need guidance for the rest of their life because once you turn them loose, you know, they go right back to their old ways. Well, I'm here to tell anyone that does that, you know, think about that before you put an extra spoonful of something in your mouth. Or you say, well, you know what? I can have one of these because I'm okay right now. It's not going to hurt me. And then before you know it, you're saying, well, I can have two or three of these and I'll be all right. Well, a year later, you don't even know yourself in your clothes or the mirror. Very dangerous, very self-defeating, very uncommittal. Uncommitted, I'm sorry. And I don't put up with stuff like that anymore because everything we do here, we want to benefit people. We want to tell everyone, ask yourself why. Why are you doing this, whether it's a positive or a negative? Because that's the biggest thing right there. You realize something is going on with you. You realize something needs to be done. You realize at times if it's something very dangerous or deadly, you need to go get help from Dr. Wong. You need to get some help from me because you know damn well you're going to get the God's honest truth and you're going to get multiple solutions. But I can't say this enough, and I'll give it right back to Doc. You know, we're going to hit on another word right now, and he's going to love this, responsibility. Where the hell did everybody's responsibility go? Why is it easy to say, oh, I'm not going to do it today. It'll be there tomorrow. You know something I can tell you, and I'm sure Doc can, as he's been an entrepreneur long before I ever set foot into it. I'm going to tell you right now, there are no tomorrows. There are no more tomorrows sometimes. And I'm telling you right now, you've got to live life with an intensity. You got to live life with knowing that if I don't move on this as quick as I can, maybe somebody else gets it. Maybe that's the last nail in the coffin and I'm done. You have to live life with a ferocity that you're not used to living to, things that are not taught in school. Hopefully you have parents that teach you things of that nature. But here's the deal. That whole trip runs out, that blame game like Doc was saying before. I was telling him some stuff I'm doing when we were off air. 17 is going to be like whiplash for me every day. I don't care how I feel. Maybe I can't do the five things I planned on that day, but I'll do two no matter what. Why? Because I build consistency. Why? I build momentum. Why? Because I want this fucking business to go to a $1 million company within 2 years. And I'm not bullshitting anybody. This could be a $1 billion company for all I know. I've worked my ass off harder than hell. I'm not saying I deserve anything. All I know is when I show up, I show up. It's the same way with the show. I've told Doc before, there's shit that's hit the fan 5 minutes before the show. I could have called somebody and said, hey, I can't do it. I don't feel good. Or the bottom just dropped out on the IT shit, which has happened so many times. No. I have a responsibility to myself, but most of all, I have a responsibility to our family here. And if you can't put that out, when you know we talk about all kinds of things here, what do we just bring up? Well, here's what we just brought up. Commit. If I can't commit to you, how am I going to expect you to commit to me? And if you don't want to commit to me, you know, I always hear everybody saying to me, well, I'm going to start my own podcast show. I'd be glad to help you out. Go for it. Or I hear this one and, you know, I think you'll be better than him. Or, well, you know, I listen to this other guy because, you know, he's good and all this. I'm like, you can listen to whoever the hell you please, man. I'll tell you right now. But I only know what people who've been around this industry for a long, long years have told me. And I'll tell you right now, we are on the course to bigger and bigger greatness. And when you got people like Dr. Wong on here with me supporting me and lending an ear and everything else, we're not going down for anybody. So, Doc, take it, brother.
You know, I have had patients, I've had customers, I've had clients, I've had correspondents who exercised here and there. They did a little piddly stuff here and there. Then they have something like a heart attack.
Yep.
All of a sudden, oh, my God, I got to do this, I got to do that. They want to increase their injection fraction, which means they want to increase how much their heart pumps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you still doing your cardiac rehab? Oh, no. I went through primary and secondary cardiac rehab, and then I was cut loose, and I didn't have to do anything anymore. What do you mean you didn't have to do anything anymore? Well, the doctor said that I didn't have to go to class anymore. Did that mean he excused you from exercise? Did that mean he excused you from your maintaining your own body? So you want to come up, you want someone else to invent a drug, a supplement, or something to help increase the stroke volume of your heart, how much you pump out per squeeze,
yep.
But you're not willing to put the frickin' work in to do it yourself. Talk about shifting responsibility. But, you know, honestly, I'm okay with people who do that. Because they die off, and they're no longer a bother to me or anybody else.
Exactly.
Not taking responsibility is a way of shortening your lifespan. If you do that, more power to you, and I hope you're happy on the other side.
Well,
because you ain't going to be here for very fucking long.
No, and you know what? I heard a number of things during Christmas, you know, it's too much. Too much anxiety. I'm too tired out. And I'm saying to myself, then you know what? You need to back off on things. You need to take a good look at what you're doing here and make the life adjustments you have to. You're putting yourself under more duress every time you're talking this way to yourself. And you know, I'll be honest with you. As much as I love these people or people that are just strangers, and you hear them talking, I beeline right away from them now. I don't want to subject myself to it. Now, I'm not cold-hearted to them. I've talked to different people, say, well, you know, if this was me, this might be what I want to do. And they kind of look at me, well, I don't know if I could do it or you know, you look at things different. Well, damn straight I look at things different. I got my ass against the wall just about every day. Every day. And I don't like getting into this because I don't want to sound like it's like, you know, I'm the poor guy. No, not at all. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I don't care how bad things get or they get better or whatever. You want to talk about a piece of stone? Do something like this. Be an entrepreneur. Get ready for multiple things. You know, I've told everybody, I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to make it happen. You know, that big invite to go to Iceland, Scotland, and Wales in June of next year at Martin Janzik's.
That'll be fantastic.
And a lot of people have reached out and they want to go. You know, the possibilities that could happen. But right now, the business beckons me. I mean, that's not meaning I'm not going out and training and doing what I got to do. But I've created this life, and I got to live with this life, or I retract and go do something else and basically get my balls kicked in every day. And right now, unless it was something, somebody I knew that needed some help, probably I'm not even psychologically able to work for anybody anymore. Because you learn once you have your own business and your own dreams and your creativity. I got news for everybody out there. You can think I'm full of shit. Try it. See what happens to you. You're going to love your life. And you're going to realize, even though, look, when I was a programmer making very, very good money, it allowed me to build equipment, buy equipment, go to Iceland twice, all that, learned how to program. How do you think I built this podcast on my own? You know, that's what people ask me. Well, I watched 1,000 hours of YouTube probably and built the podcast. Why 1,000? Because the majority of stuff you watch, when you need the whole thing, you might get 10, 15 minutes of it, and you're like, shit, how do I do it the rest of the way? So that was my drive to do it. Now, to make a long story short, and this is all valuable stuff, because I was telling Dr. Wong, I was on the phone with our good friend Bill Hinburn, and Bill gave me a number of compliments, which I always appreciate. And anybody knows Bill, Bill, like Dr. Wong, I consider them mentors to me because they've been around much longer than me, and I respect their opinions, and I bounce things off them all the time. And Bill has seen a lot of stuff here, and Bill was like, you know, you're so damn close to just breaking that damn wide open. And he also said to me, like Adam T. Glass, another great guy on here, he said, you know, with all the information you got, he says, you got to write something or get something out. He goes, because Bill's been in the business over 50 years. He goes, I haven't had anywhere near the stuff that's happened to me that's happened to you. He said, you've got a hell of a story. And he goes, look at what you've got just podcasting, how you can teach that. And I'm like, well, the main thing right now is to become very solvent and really start building the income so we can do all these things. We're in the process of that. That's why I never thought I'd ask for donations to the show. But you know what? Everybody else does. I'm like, what the hell, man? I'm giving quality stuff out. If you want to give a buck, it doesn't matter. It's all appreciated, and I read everybody's name on there because I'm not like everybody else. I'm not in it for 2 years, 3 years. I'm not in it to take anything from anyone because I'm a big giver to begin with. But I'll tell you right now, we're here forever. And I guarantee you this show is going to go national. And anybody that's involved here is going to love what's coming down even in 17, because if you know anything about me, you know, you don't know what's driving this whole fort, this ship behind the scenes. This stuff is just pure adrenaline running all the time, pure power. You know, we talk about the stone. It's like a big piece of granite constantly coming at you. I don't care if I have a shit day or not. It's not going to stop the force from coming at you. It's, you know, it's just like water. Water finds its spot. It keeps rushing over everything. If it's got to make a little detour, it does that. These are all things that make you win as an entrepreneur. These are all things that turn you into stone, meaning you have a will, you have a disposition, you have a commitment, you have an attitude. And what does that make in the end? Especially you're going to get all these people, they're going to start coming into your life because you're doing things that are noble. I guarantee you, success, that big word, is around the corner. But remember this, I say this all the time now, welcome failure into your life, because the more failures you get, the more mistakes you make, the sooner you are to that big S, and that's called success. It's all yours, Doc.
Greatest lessons I have ever learned were from my failures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my successes were wonderful, but they came on a mountain of failures.
Yeah.
Just like Edison tried, what, 5,000 times to make the light bulb?
Yep.
Those 5,000 times made up were made up for by the one time he succeeded.
And that's what they remember him for. That's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. You know, he didn't get it the first try. He didn't get it the second one either. So you got to have that willpower, intuitiveness in order to get it done, and then in order to keep it done. Once we get it done, it's wonderful. We've reached the pinnacle. We're there. Then we need to stay there because there's lots of stuff that's going to try to knock you off the mountain. Now, let's touch on a subject that you commented on before.
Sure.
Your family members didn't have the time. They're too stressed. They're too this. They're too that. I have had so many patients, so many customers, so many clients tell me that. And really and truly, they can't back off from what they're doing until they get their heart attack.
Yep.
Until they get their stroke. Then all of a sudden, they got nothing else to do but take care of themselves. Well, you know, yeah, we can rebuild you from a heart attack. We can partially rebuild you back from a CVA, from a stroke. But wouldn't it have been better if you would have found the time for yourself?
Yep.
Wouldn't it have been better if you would have put aside some of the really pressing things you think you absolutely need to do and take time to take care of yourself so that you can stay at what you need to do for longer, healthier, without any impediments? There was this one engineer that I took care of. He was a stroke patient. Man was 41 years old. He was a multiple engineer. He wasn't just a mechanical engineer. He was an electrical engineer. He was whatever. And all you engineers out there, I'm sorry, but you're all assholes. Take a look at the definition of an asshole in the dictionary, and the first word you see in Webster's is engineers.
Yep.
All engineers are assholes. You learn to be assholes in school. This guy was a huge asshole before his stroke. He blew his brain out so severely at 41 years of age from being such a hard-driven asshole.
Yep.
He was a really nice 7-year-old after his stroke. He was such a nice guy. Absolutely. But he was never going to be an engineer again. He lost it all of his abilities. Why? Because he wouldn't take care of himself and he wouldn't back off on the pressure.
Yep.
You got to turn the heat down on the pressure cooker, folks. Not only do you have to turn the heat down on the pressure cooker, then you've got to take care of yourself. You've got to strengthen that pressure cooker so it doesn't blow the fuck up.
Well, you know something? This is real interesting because you and I have did a big show among many with innate intelligence. And when you start talking about that, the bell went off in my head. We don't listen to ourselves anymore. We don't.
No.
We've got so much bullshit going on constantly in our lives. We've got every device known to man, and that's all we care about. I'll tell you something.
Your wives and mothers and bosses telling you what to do.
That's it. But you know what the most amazing thing is? Of course, you're out. You know, I'm out at stores, you know, Christmas shopping and blah, blah, blah. I didn't see one guy without a phone in his hand other than me.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, guys? And I'm thinking to myself, why? Why do you have to have a phone in your hand? What are you missing out on? You know, who are you that popular? Everybody in the world's calling you. What the fuck is going on with you? And you know what it is?
Well, everyone's got thousands of friends.
Yeah.
But they don't have any real friends.
Exactly. But you know what it really comes down? I just think it is lack of confidence. They feel that a phone is some type of quote-unquote status piece. And it's almost like, you know, look at me. And you know something? When you're trying to hold a bunch of things in one hand and have your phone with your palm wide open looking at your phone, I think you look like an asshole. And I think not only that, that's more of the cardboard theory we were talking about today. It's like, I'd much rather have a 200-pound stone in my left arm and carry that than carry a stupid device, all right? Now, do you need a phone? I guess now the world has become oriented like that, but I'll tell you this. Yeah, I have a phone on me. Usually, it's either locked in my car where you can't see it, or it's off in my pocket because I don't want my balls to glow after that thing's in there, right? So you know, that's one of the main things right there. But it's become now It's really a form, you know, really maybe down the road they'll figure out a way to your mama can bury you with a phone already in your hand and you'll be all set. How ridiculous, man.
Or you'll be born with one in your hand.
I agree. You know, look, I'll say this and I'll say it again. Technology is a great thing. I mean, Dr. Wong's in Texas. I'm in Albany, New York. You know, there's no other way we could do this other than flying back and forth, all right? That's where it's great. But on the other hand, it's become a tool that has really taken people out of being. I think the whole humanity end of a lot of it is leaving us more and more, because when you can text somebody, when you can send a note to them, you know, instead of dealing with them eye to eye. Now, I'm not talking about when you're separated a lot of distance. I've said this before. And I've had people tell me, I've been out at a restaurant, and you'll see couples across from you. They're not touching their food, and they're texting. Now, I don't know if they're texting to each other, right, or they're texting to somebody else, okay? Now, if the girl I was with did that to me, I'd say, excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom, and I'd walk right out. I'd walk right out the back door.
Yeah. You know, there's an old movie called Two for the Road with Audrey Hepburn.
Okay.
And it's one of my favorite movies because it shows what the process is for a couple when they get together. And in the beginning of the movie, when these two folks are madly in love with each other, they look at this other couple in the restaurant, and they're not talking to each other. Hell, they're not even looking at each other. They're just eating their food. And they come up with the saying, what kind of people don't talk to each other?
Yep.
The answer is married people.
Yep.
After a while, you do see couples drift apart, and they go from just chattering at each other wildly in the beginning. They're not saying a damn word to each other after 20, 30 years. And you can always tell the folks who have sort of kind of fallen out of love with each other by how much they don't talk to each other over supper, or how much they're texting and paying attention to their phones.
Yeah.
Over supper to each other.
And you know what the craziest thing about that is, too? It's like, you know, why don't you spend time together? Why did you lose interest? You know, and if that is there, I mean, why are you even together anymore? And I'm beside words sometimes when I see how people, you know, quote unquote, treat one another and their lack of interest. I mean, you know, think about it. It's like, yeah, there's, you know, you could be anywhere, a beautiful girl could walk by and you're going to look, but when it comes down to it, man, if you really care about who you're with, that's not even going to matter, because that's going to be the way it is with everything. But, you know, I just think that we've really lost, I guess I'd say this, we've really lost that, that glow, that feel for one another. And I'll tell you why. And it's not everybody, but it's much easier to get on devices and contact people, not look them in the eyes or get face to face with them or anything like that, you know, than it is, you know, hey, I can just type something off or, you know, leave you a voicemail. Hopefully I don't get you on the phone or whatever. That's a shitty way to go through life, and you're going to have a very unhappy life to boot. And this is why when we talked about the topic today, stones or cardboard, it goes for everything. It's not just lifting or anything like that. What is your personality? Who do you value? Do you put value on yourself? Who do you want to be with? Do you want to stay together for the rest of your life? Hopefully you can. I know that doesn't always work out, but I hope for everybody, especially who's involved in our family here, I hope any of you that are married, you always have the same love for one another, and it grows as you get older. Because I know many people, including myself, the grass is not always greener on the other side, believe me when I tell you that. And when you make mistakes, they can cost you a lifetime. And regret is nothing I want to take with me. Legacy is everything. Regret is nothing to me. Go ahead, Doc.
You know, when we use all these electronic measures to communicate.
Yep.
When we have all these friends on Twitter, and all of our friends are on Twitter, when all of our friends are on Facebook, when we text each other, when we do whatever, Those are non-personal forms of communication. You're not looking at the person. You're not even listening or hearing the person's voice. We have lost the art of conversation.
Yep.
Okay, imagine this. You're in the halls of Valhalla. There's beer everywhere.
Yep.
And all the Vikings are tweeting.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
Nah.
That's not going to happen.
No way.
They're talking to each other. They're pinching the Valkyrie's ass.
Yep.
They're drinking their beer. They're eating their, you know, good the side of lamb or whatever.
Yep.
And they're talking to each other, looking at each other in the eye the way men are supposed to do. And don't trust anyone who won't look you in the eye when he talks to you. All these teens and all these 20-somethings and 30-somethings have completely forgotten how to look someone in the eye and have a long conversation. They'll throw a tweet at you, and then they'll look down, and they'll do whatever. But, a conversation, a sustained conversation on a specific topic or a range of topics, it's impossible. They can't do it. They can't sustain it. They don't know how the fuck to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
what have you lost? What have the colleges been teaching? What have schools been teaching? They've been teaching technocracy.
Yep.
Because technocracy is an engineer's way of taking over society. Okay, so we've gone through a series of different dictators. We've gone through communist dictators and fascist dictators and neo-fascist dictators. And now we're going to the technocratic dictators where everything is a lack. Nothing is in abundance,
nope.
So we have to like socialism, dole out the little that we have, and the engineers will figure out who gets what. But first we have to teach people that the engineers have it right, that the engineers are the guys who should run things by getting them so deeply involved in technocracy, like your little tweets, like your Facebook, like your emails, like your whatever, that the technology becomes more important than human interaction. Think about it.
Oh, without a look.
Technology becomes more important than face-to-face, skin-to-skin, breath-to-breath action. That's fucked up.
It's very. And you're going to see, I believe, much more of this because things are constantly well, they'll say improving. I don't think they really are. But they're doing whatever they can do to get to wherever they got to get. And the technology is only going to get deeper and deeper. It's going to get faster and faster. It's going to keep changing. You know, you look at things now, you can't keep up with what's going on with software, with anything. You know, you can run something for 6 months, 3 months. It's already changed again. I know what I do. You're always getting updates for something. Put this on. Well, I got bit really hard with that through Outlook 2016, where I was literally down for almost 4 days. They had some bad code in there. It got into my hard drive, which we were very lucky. I had backups, but it didn't damage anything. And literally, I was out of business for almost 4 days, like I said. And, you know, it's the typical, well, we've never had that happen before. Bullshit. You don't go out and release anything without, obviously, testing. So this is some of the stuff you're going to deal with this stuff. Now, there's got to be a line drawn in the sand, in my opinion, with it. Because you're going to have, look at Doc, myself, we got to deal with people verbally, whether we meet them or not. I can't sit there and text 10,000 things. In fact, there's been people that, you know, I'm doing business with that, you know, will go back and forth with email. I said, look, if you have the time or give me a day, it'd be far easier to speak on the phone for a half an hour because then we don't have to do the back and forth thing. Then we don't have to guess what this one or that one said. So much easier, and most people now are agreeing to that with me because I'm not going to do business with you, to be honest with you. I am not going to keep texting or emailing back and forth. I don't have the time, number one, and I don't have the patience to do it anymore. To me, it's just such a waste of time. How hard is it to pick up a phone and talk for 15 minutes, a half an hour if you have to? Most stuff you can do in like 10 minutes. So, you know, and not only that, I want to be personal with people. You know, I want to hear them on the phone, hear what they sound like. I want to see how they speak, how they refer to things, who they talk about, what they talk about,
But human interaction and human contact
right.
takes away from technocracy, because if you want to be with people,
yeah.
if you want to be touching people, if you want to be gathered with people, those groups, then when you're in a group where humans are communicating with each other without the use of electronics,
yep.
that all of a sudden teaches people that they don't need the technocracy. And that's a bad thing to the technocrats, because you have to become so dependent on technocracy to communicate, to live. You have to think that it's absolutely an essential part of your life. God, I can't wait until the Russians do the EMP attack. And all the kids can't play their video games, and no one can tweet. Facebook is gone. And, you know, yeah, my business will probably be dead by then. But society will get one a hell of a jolt. And guess what? You'll have to start talking to your neighbors.
There you go.
Let's start talking to the people around you. You'll have to start building communities again based on human interaction and human conversation without the technology.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, the bottom line is this, and this is what we talk about with everything. You know, the stone, the cardboard. Look, everything's got its place. There are some things we need. Obviously, for business, you're going to need things like social media to get out to people you can't reach any other way. Got no problem with it. But you know something? For me, I'm just talking about me. It's never going to replace my thought or talk. Never. Because what am I doing here? I'm talking to everybody. I love doing this. I don't want it any other way. And I understand the whole thing. I got it. I got the whole deal. You know, I don't need to be educated on being a technocrat or, you know, why the phone is so great and, you know, you're lost without it. And why don't you come up to where civilization is today and everything? I think civilization in a lot of ways is taking 10 steps backward. I can tell you this, and I heard multiple people saying it during Christmas. They said they've never met up with so many rude people in their life. Rude. And you know what that's from? That's from not only thinking and believing everything you read and watching these stupid-ass movies where, you know, they think you give somebody a shot to the jaw and they get up every time. I want to tell everybody out there, that's not true, all right? But they get this, you said it before, this narcissistic way about them, and they feel they can do anything, whether they cut you off and flip you off or, you know, try to get badass with you. You'll be walking through a door and they'll bump into you and all that. It's like, you know what? I learned a long time ago, my dad always told us when we were kids, there's always going to be somebody smarter than you out there and somebody tougher than you out there. Be real careful what you pick for your poison. Now, I'm not saying on the other thing to back off from anybody. That's not my point. But stop, get over yourself real quick. And, you know, take care of your own business and stop worrying about everybody else. If you do that, I'm telling you, you're going to be far happier. You will be like a piece of granite. And you won't be like a piece of flimsy, wet cardboard that we know where that goes, right in the trash heap where it belongs. Or if it's laying on the street, you see it somewhere, it's blowing down the road in 100 with 100 holes in it. So if you can't, if you can't do things like that, if you can't take hold of yourself, of your life, you're just going to be, as we say, you're going to be another doormat for everybody. And, I, you know, that's why we stress so much here. You know, it's important what you're made of. You don't have to go out and lift stones. You can create your own image. You can build your image. You can do things with valuable goals to succeed at. And you can become that type of person. But stop being like everybody else. Stop being that cookie cutter piece of cardboard that they want you to be. Or maybe you want to be. Or somebody that you like wants you to be. Don't be afraid. Be like the entrepreneur, the weightlifter, anything out there, a martial artist. Take hold of what you got. Be glad what you got at that point and keep improving upon on it. If you can do that, you can live a very fruitful life. And whatever your goals are your goals. Everybody's got different goals. Some people just have a goal where they can bend over, tie their shoes, stand back up, not be dizzy and out of breath. That's a big goal for some people, and I think it's a worthy goal because when you start doing that, you build upon it. It's the same way with Dennis right now. we've got to take and build upon all the strengths he has, multiply them, and get ready for the next big hurdle we're going to have. Because I got news for you. This stuff is not to be taken lightly, and you can really put somebody down either permanently or you can put them down good for the rest of their life. We aren't going to do that. I won't do that. But you know what? Choose stone, not cardboard. Doc, summarize anything you want. Give out all your info. I'll give mine and hang on the line, please. Take your time with it.
All righty. You know, what Eric's dad was teaching folks to do was to be polite. Basically, being polite. You don't know who can take you. You don't know who can't. You think you can take most folks. It's always going to be somebody who can take you.
Yep.
So if you're polite to everyone, you won't get into a situation where you need to be arguing or fighting with anyone. Very, very simple. No one these days has been taught to be polite. That's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mothers don't teach manners anymore. We learn manners mostly from our mothers and then somewhat from our fathers. But we just don't get that in today's society, probably because the mothers and fathers themselves haven't been taught, because they're the cusp group for the technocratic age.
Yep.
Next, we have the point where most folks have been taught, you have been conditioned, you have been programmed since infancy to follow. And you have liked that program. It's left you in a very comfortable place.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going to fight the programming not to follow? So, you have been programmed to be sheeple. You have been programmed not to be active, not to be proactive, not to be successful. Not, you have been programmed to be a cog in the machine, because that's where society wants you. Because society needs worker bees. They don't need queen bees. They don't need king bees. They don't need whatever. They need worker bees, and you're going to be a worker bee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the back of your mind should say, fuck you to that. The back of your mind should be rejecting all the programming. Every time all the subliminal shit hits you,
yep,
to tell you that you need to be a worker bee, that you need to submit your will to the masses for the good of mankind, to not increase your carbon output and have a smaller carbon signature, you say, fuck you.
That's right.
You need to be rejecting all that, and you need to find your inner strength to undo, to yank out all that programming and press the delete button.
Yep.
So that you can be your own strong individual, so that you can be the determiner of your fate and of your life, and not some technocrat, politician, or social engineer somewhere trying to create his ideal socialist low population society by killing you off early, by putting you into all the things that will guarantee that you die early. You know, I have been complaining about the fellows and the people who invented the high carbohydrate diet, because when that became popular in the mid to late 70s, from that moment on, you can track the fact,
yep,
that we had a 70 to 73% increase in diabetes. We had a 70% increase in heart disease. We had a 70% increase in obesity. And now Oprah's coming back and selling the same shit.
Yep.
You know why they're selling the same shit? Because they want to shorten your frickin' lifespan so that you're not on the planet anymore. Go read the damn Georgia Guidestones. If you don't know about them, go find them out. The Georgia Guidestones say that there shouldn't be more than 1.5 billion people on the planet. Well, right now there's 7.
Yep.
Going on 8. And you know, you could fit most of those folks in the state the size of, I think, Missouri. Although I wouldn't send anybody to Missouri. And they'll each have 3 square feet of space,
yep,
space to stand on.
Yep.
So is the world really overpopulated? Okay. I'm not going to get into that now. Their motivation is to decrease the service population, to make you a cog in the machine, and to get rid of you early. If you like the programming, then you will succumb to everything they're trying to program you for.
Yep.
If you don't like the programming, if you tear it out by the roots, you can be your own person.
That's right.
Which one do you want to be?
Well, as the old saying goes, are you concrete or are you cardboard? It's up to you. It's up to you. And you know what? Another thing, stop taking the damn easy way out of everything. You know, if you want people to give a shit about you, give a shit about yourself first. You know? And we always harp on testosterone and everything too, especially males. You know? Grow a set of balls, boys. You know, there's no impossibilities. There are no that I can't do it tomorrow. I got news for you. You want to do something, put as much time into all your bitching and complaining you're doing and all the woe is me, because I got news for you. You start doing stuff like that, I'm sure you'll be sending notes to Dr. Wong and myself, because you're going to realize for the last, what, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, I've been sitting in this puddle of I don't know what. It's just, I sit here and I think to myself, well, it could have been this, it could have been that. And that's all you put your time and charge into. Flip the coin, put your time and charge into yourself. Because I don't care what anybody tells you. They can use selfish, they can use self-centered, whatever. I've said this and I'll say it again till the day we come off the show. If your health is poor, if your thinking is poor, doesn't matter if you're married, girlfriend, kids, whatever, you're of no use to anybody. And I'll leave that right there, my friend. Anything you got, lay it out. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but...
Perfectly okay. Perfectly okay. Great points. Anyone who wants to further hear me rant and rave can go to drwongradio.com. If you want to read my articles on health, spirituality, martial arts, go to drwong.us. And if you're interested in our supplements, please go to drwongsessentials.com.
And your stuff is by far the best. There's no doubt about that. It's the best. Dr. Wong is very gracious with me, he and his wife. And I've said this before on the show, I don't push much supplements. There's only a couple people on here that we talk about when it comes to that, and that's all I take. And, you know, I don't think we've ever done. We've done stuff on your enzymes and a few of the other testosterone builders. We'll have to talk about next year. We ought to talk about supplements and the supplements out there, because I think it's a good thing for people to know to be very careful what they're ingesting in their body, number one. And number two, you know, we can talk about cost, which is out of this world for junk usually. So maybe that's something we'll beat up on next year. How's that? We'll get that one.
You get me ranting and raving about all the lies, cheating, and bullshit of the supplement industry.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have me on for 3 hours.
That's okay. I don't mind. I could talk to you all day. Doesn't bother me one bit. Doc, you got everything out?
Yes, sure did.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. Download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, obviously. And that's a free ebook. And our 30-day program, that's another free book. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. And like I said in the beginning, go out and look at all the shows Dr. Wong and I have done. His show will be up tomorrow morning. We'll do that. Let me think. What else? Is there anything else to that? No, that's good. There's plenty in that vault, though, like I said. We probably got close to 1,000 shows in 2 years now, which is incredible. Also, too, if there's a show you like Dr. Wong and I do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Please give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten from everybody, and I thank you all for that. Also, too, I'll leave you with, well, these are multiple things. Number one, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to say hello to them or give them a smile. That might be all they get for the day from anybody, and 5 words can change your life. As my mom said, similar, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day, and we were talking about that just with the texting and stuff. You know, I think for a lot of people out there, especially this time of year, it's a cold, lonely world. Doesn't take a lot to say hello to somebody, believe me. Look at people's eyes, man. You can tell an awful lot about their eyes. Just, you know, I love to observe. That's why I talk about all these things. Even as a kid, I did. And keep your mouth shut, because you can learn an awful lot when people are talking around you. My dad taught me that. You're going to find out who you want to associate with and who you don't. So take another clip from my father. Guy was a smart guy, let me tell you. If you're going to lift it today, bend it, break it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And like we said, are you stone or are you cardboard? That should tell you right there. Also, one of my favorite things we ever built here was the crusher stone, the hoose of steel. And it says in blood red, domination on front and back. We don't, you know, we dominate everything we do here, and we always say these things. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. We dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in our path. Also, no one will ever clip our balls, and I mean that. And as Russell Fur says, who's listened to Eminem from the very beginning and who's been on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Dr. Wong and myself will attest to that. We love that. And it's great to be a man. We don't hear that enough, but you're going to hear about it next year. I guarantee you from he and I for sure. I've got a couple ideas. You know, Dr. Wong suggested books, which are killer. Maybe we start doing some stuff with books. We start getting some manly books. We'll read excerpts from it. We'll discuss it because, especially with the younger kids listening here, if you're not getting that support home, we want to help you out. We don't want to see you getting your ass kicked in school or being told, you know, you don't want to do this. Remember what I said during the show? Ask the why of yourself constantly why you're doing things, whether they're good or bad in your mind. Keep doing that. You're going to find the answer, and we'll keep helping you all the way. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest marketing professor, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. That all goes into today's show. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor for many years, who was like a father figure to me. My dad had died many years before I met John. John would walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you say that to yourself and not smile. I'm doing it right now and smiling. It doesn't matter. Those two words. John would be very proud of everything that's going on here. John was one of the people that really pushed me to get into motivation and muscle. He felt that I really had the talent to do it. And I thank him for that. That was some great stuff. One of the things I want to say too, obviously I said about John and, you know, how great John was. Those three men were catalysts in my life. I mean, I don't know what it was. It was just they seemed to be at the right place at the right time all the time. And I have so many people around me now who are the same ilk, you know, like Dr. Wong, Bill Hinburn, and many others. These are gentlemen that have been through a lot of stuff. And I appreciate all their knowledge and what they bring to the show. But more than anything, you build real friendships, family with these people. And that's all I've ever looked for with the show, and I want to keep pushing this to everybody because, you know, I said before, you can feel alone, and everybody does at one point, or you just feel kind of down. That's why we do what we do. And there's been days, man, like I said, when I've been hammered, I come on the show, and I feel like somebody just injected me with life again. This has got an off, you know, they love to talk about therapy. Fuck your therapy. Come listen to this. We'll give you some real therapy, and we'll give you some real life's lessons. Also, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And tell 100 or more of your friends, because I got news for you. We're coming for you, and we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the damn thing in. Dr. Wong, what can I say? Happy New Year, sir. It's been a pleasure to have you on here in 2016. Thank you for your generosity. And I look forward to 2017 because I'm so happy you're going to be a part of just watching the metamorphosis of Motivation, Muscle, and Fiorello Barbell Company. I really feel the dam is breaking now, and we're going to be in a hell of a place. Who knows how quick either, but it's going to happen this year, I promise. So thank you for everything.
Healthy and prosperous 2017 to you, and all the best wishes and blessings on your endeavor.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. So we'll have Dr. Wong on, obviously, in 2017. This was a week I wasn't going to do much, but I wanted to get him on, and we got a couple others. We got We got a good friend, Carmen Caputo, on what's tomorrow, Wednesday, and then we finish the year off with Powell with Dudo. So this show will be up tomorrow. You'll get to hear another excellent show with Dr. Wong and myself. And as the great Les Brown said, you all have greatness in you. We take it a couple steps further. We stand with you. We got your back, and we believe in you. There aren't many people that are going to do that in today's world. So everybody, have a happy new year. We'll have Dr. Wong on and many of your favorites starting in 17. And like I said, go out and do something great. Have a great week, everyone, and we will talk to you next year. Thanks for everything.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.